Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Mark Blunden, and this is The Leader. As the heavens opened over the capital, there's a financial storm brewing. But what's the impact going to be on London's property market for homeowners with mortgages and renters? The Bank of England has decreed the steepest interest rate hike since 1989, with a jump of 0.75% to 3%. As it steps up the fight against soaring inflation. This leaves the bank's base rate at its highest level since 2008, heaping more pain on mortgage holders. At the same time, the capital's property owners are being warned that prices in London are set to fall faster than elsewhere in the UK as mortgage rates bite, with the knock-on effect likely to be felt by Londoners who are renting. But the government's not revealing any plans ahead of its autumn budget statement. Here's Chancellor Jeremy Hunt.
Today's news is going to be very tough for families with mortgages up and down the country, for businesses with loans. But there is a global economic crisis. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, say a third of the world's economy is now in recession. And the best thing the government can do if we want to bring down these rises in interest rates is to show that we're bringing down our debt. Families up and down the country have to balance their accounts at home, and we must do the same as the government.
To analyse the impact of Thursday's unwelcome financial news, we're joined by Laurie McFarlane, a fellow at UCL's Institute for Innovation and Public Purpose. Laurie, how soon will the interest rate increase be felt?
There are around 9 million residential mortgages in the UK at the moment. About 20% of them, are just under 2 million, are on variable or tracker mortgages. And so they'll feel the impact pretty quickly, not immediately, because it tracks the Bank of England base rate. The rest, or around 7 million, tend to be on fixed rate mortgages. And so for the time being, we'll be relatively insulated. However, large numbers of those 7 million will be seeing their fixed rate mortgages end fairly soon. So there's an estimated 2 million households that will see their fixed rate deals expire next year, some of them very early next year. And so for those households, they will see a fairly big shock to their monthly outgoings as soon as that happens next year. And just in terms of a sort of sense of scale, last year, base rates were about 0.1%. They're now 3% after the Bank of England's announcement today. Using a sort of rule of thumb, for every £100,000 of mortgage debt someone has, they'll be paying an extra £1,800 per year compared to last year. So if you're a household with £200,000 of mortgage debt, you'll be seeing your payments increase by around £3,600 compared to last year.
Are lenders likely to show much understanding for homeowners struggling with their mortgages?
Well, it's in lenders' interests to help people make their repayments. Lenders don't want people to default on their loans because that's generally not good for the banks. And so they will do some things to try and help, but they won't do anything that's going to incur significant losses for the bank. You know, they're not charities, they're profit maximising entities. And so what they can do, and may well do and have done in the past, is offer things like mortgage holidays to people, or extending the repayment period, say from 25 years to 30 years. It's important to remember, though, that things like mortgage holidays, that doesn't necessarily save people money. It's just a timing thing, because it means that, yes, they might not have to pay or might pay less for the moment, but ultimately they will have to pay it over time and will have to pay more in interest. It's just a case of sort of spreading the cost into the future. But that can play an important role in providing some short-term relief for households that are struggling. And so I suspect we will see banks start to do more of that, just like they did during the pandemic.
What's your view on the likely impact on London's rental market? market.
Many buy-to-let landlords also have mortgages, not all of them, but substantial numbers. And they will likely also be facing higher interest payments, either now if they're on sort of tracker ones or in the near future. And landlords are unlikely to want to absorb all of that themselves. And so it is likely that in many cases, they will try to pass that on to tenants in the form of higher rents. And there's not much that tenants can really do if that happens. England has some of the weakest tenants' rights in Europe. And so if landlords do want to put up the rent, there's not much they can do really if they can't or won't pay, apart from to just try and absorb that. And given that rents in London are already very, very high, some of the highest in Europe, people paying 40% or sometimes 50% of their income in rent, while at the same time, their pay packet is being eroded by higher prices elsewhere with inflation, there's a big risk that many in the private rented sector, you know, really just simply will not be able to pay this. And I think there is a risk that we see, you know, a surge of evictions and homelessness if we don't deal with this quite carefully.
Are there any strategies that renters can use to help protect themselves?
At an individual level, there's not a great deal they can do apart from speaking to landlords, speaking to the landlord early if they are struggling, let them know and try and come to some kind of arrangement. And the other thing to do is just to make sure that you know what the laws are and what rights you have. There are various organisations that can do that, and tenants' unions, just to make sure that landlords aren't sort of step outside the law. But as I said above, at the moment, there is very little to stop landlords sort of jacking up the rent and then evicting tenants if they can't or won't pay. And I think what we need to see is the government take action on this to protect tenants. Because otherwise, as I said, there is a big risk that we will see a spike of evictions. Now, there's various things can be done. In Scotland, the Scottish government's announced a rent freeze and a moratorium on evictions. That means that landlords can't increase rents at the moment, or they can't evict people just to get through this crisis. I think the government could also be doing other things, for example, increasing housing welfare support to struggling tenants. So providing some more welfare to help tenants pay the rent and avoid eviction. So I think there's various things that could be done, but I do think we do need to see government recognise this and act earlier before it starts to spiral out of control.
Let's go to the ads coming up. What all this means for the government politically? Is it a gift horse for Labour? Why not hit rate and follow in the meantime?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Laurie, can you give us some context about how far we've come with interest rates after they were so low just a year ago?
Not long ago, it seems like a long time ago now, but interest rates were near zero, the lowest on record. And now we're seeing them increase rapidly to 3%. It's worth saying as well that many economists expect interest rates to be going up further, say up to even 5% in the not too distant future. Now, there's a number of different things going on here. Part of this is about global factors. So the global economy is opening up after pandemic lockdowns. There's been some real supply chain issues and things like that pushing up prices, which has forced central banks to respond. We've also had things like the war in Ukraine adding to inflationary pressures, particularly on things around energy. And so those are the kind of global factors that many countries are dealing with. There is also UK-specific factors that have contributed to this, particularly the mini-budget by Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng, which saw interest rates on government bonds spike and value of the pound continue to fall quite sharply, making imported goods more expensive and therefore hitting inflation again. Now, the UK government's sort of desperately trying to unwind that, but nonetheless, the impact and legacy of that's still being felt. It's worth saying as well, the Bank of England is also actually playing a role here. So just the other week, it began what's known as quantitative tightening, which is the opposite of quantitative easing, which people might have heard it doing since the global financial crisis. And quantitative easing is where the central bank creates new money and buys government bonds, and that drives down interest rates. And that's partly what helped push interest rates down to a record low. The Bank of England is now selling those bonds back into the market, so doing QE in reverse, which is basically intended, deliberately designed to push up interest rates as well. And so the Bank of England is also, it also obviously has control over the base interest rate. And so what the Bank of England does is absolutely key here. And I think broadly, we're seeing the conditions that contribute to you know, the housing boom over the past decade, which things like zero interest rates, large amounts of quantitative easing, we're now seeing all of that slide into reverse.
What's your view on how interest rates can be brought back under control?
Well, I think it's important to recognise that the rising base rates in the UK at the moment are, to some extent, a choice that's being made by the Bank of England. They are responding to other factors like inflation. But there is an argument, I think, that not all economists agree what the Bank of England's doing. There is an argument which is that increasing interest rates at the moment isn't really the right thing to do because it's not going to curb the kind of inflation that we're seeing, which is mainly coming from the supply side, global factors, energy prices and things like that. Nonetheless, it does come with it a significant cost to homeowners, to businesses and everything else. And so the issue, I think, is through the Bank of England's mandate. It has a mandate to meet 2% inflation, and it only has a limited set of tools to do so, mainly around interest rates. And so if you've all you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail, if you like. And so the Bank of England is doing that because it has this quite narrow focus on 2% inflation target. And it's going to try and do what it can using the limited tools it's got to do that, even if it causes hardship and disruption elsewhere. And so I do think there is a conversation to be had about the Bank of England's mandate. Does it really make sense to be increasing interest rates at the moment at the pace that it's doing so, given that the harm that that's likely to cause?
Where does all this leave the Conservative government? Is it an open goal for Labour at the next election?
If you remember what happened when the Conservatives came to power in 2010, that was after the global financial crisis, which they sort of said, oh, this was sort of Labour's fault, all the rest of it. And that played a big role in helping them come to power. So I do think they've got an enormous political challenge ahead, given that they are the party that have been in power throughout this. And given the mini budget through Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng, obviously they're not there anymore, but it was the Conservative Party that did that. And I think people all around the country see and know that that really did not help them. And so, you know, they don't need to have an election until 2025. It's not that much time. And I think they've got an enormous uphill struggle. And I do think at the moment, certainly if you look at the polls, the likelihood is that we will see a Labour government come into power. That being said, if and when they do come into power, they have an enormous challenge in order to try and turn things around, because the mess that we're in at the moment is quite a challenge.
On this story in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. That's The Leader. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.